Hear these words from the chapter of John as we prepare for the reading today. Let us pray. Break open the scripture through the power of your spirit, O God. Let your word, read and proclaimed, pour out until its fragrance fills this house and our lives. Then, anointed with your word, send us out to share the good news we have received. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who is with us always. Amen. The reading today comes from 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 3-9. Hear these words. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Amen. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Listening to the words of the scripture, a few things just stood out to me. You know, when you heard those words, though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and fill with inexpressible and glorious joy. Just to think about, though you have not seen him, that reminds you of another scene, doesn't it? When, after the resurrection, when Jesus appeared to the disciples, one of his appearances in the time when Thomas wasn't there, and then he came and basically professed that he was the first one to profess the risen Lord as Lord. And he said, Jesus said to him, though you have not seen, you've believed. It has made me realize that now we have Peter, who was a witness to that scene. Now he can recall it and write about it. I don't know. That has nothing to do with anything. I just hearing the word and I just draw me back to that story. So we've been in this past few weeks reviewing Lent as a season of repentance with the hope that our hearts will begin to be awakened wake into the true joy of that Jesus Christ was accomplished to us through his life, death, and resurrection. And as we draw near to the end of this season, we're at the end of this time of preparation. My prayer is that somewhere during this whole time, God is reminding us of our own mortality, revealing our motives and idols and priorities and the way we struggle to love God and our neighbors that leads to a true, authentic life of faith. I pray that these past four weeks you've been in that space, these weeks of Lent, reflecting on that, because the heart does matter. Reflecting and that we are temporary here. But because the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have hope. Peter called it living hope. This Lent season of Lent welcomes the introspective grief and conviction that caused because it makes joy of resurrection so much sweeter. However, since we live in a society that makes faith pretty painless, it is important to embrace the pain we cause and the pain that Jesus experienced because of sin. In this country, we don't feel pain for following Jesus. Peter was here writing to, in a time to folks who were being prosecuted, not only by the Romans, but by even their relatives who don't believe in this Jesus they're talking about. He was writing and encouraging these new believers to keep faith, telling them about this good message, the good news of Jesus' resurrection. But we don't really feel like, as in this country, we're not prosecuted for our beliefs. I read one website, it showed a number that 360 million people in the world today are being prosecuted just because they believe in Jesus, their faith. But the truth is, you and I can't get to heaven without walking through the cross. And that is why when I've been preparing and putting together this movie for Good Friday, and last couple of weeks ago, we did show you one of the clips that we will show when Cyrus saying, answering the question about what does Good Friday mean to me? And in that clip, she said, it's the pathway to my salvation. So beautiful. It's the pathway to my salvation. And then she goes on and talk about that the 3 days. But it gives our quote. And then she went on to say, it, meaning Good Friday, gets you ready for the joy of Sunday morning. Ooh, it gets your mind ready, she says. This path, the path of my salvation. So what is the salvation she's talking about? What is the salvation we talk about? I'm going to spend a little time and talk about that a little bit, because, it's sometimes we think that we've got it, we got our salvation, but I like the word path, because we're still on it. We're still on this path of salvation, and what we like to call the path of sanctification, which is a process. We went spend many weeks in that, but salvation is the core of our faith. It's the very core, the tenet of Christianity falls under, sits under. It is our salvation that Jesus came for us as a man and live among us as a servant. Indeed, Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost. But the Lamb of God, as you remember last week, the bummer lamb too, the third thief on the cross, on that bloody cross, he came to steal away the sin of the world. That's what salvation is about. The very name of Jesus means Savior. If you remember the Christmas story, the message proclaimed by the angels and the shepherds on the night of Jesus' birth, he said, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Lord Jesus." And long before this magical event, the majestic event, the prophets had already declared that there's a coming of a Savior. In fact, the entire Bible is about a salvation story. It's a salvation history. The coming of Jesus was not a mistake. It was not an incident by chance. The role of a Savior had been determined before the creation of the earth. And that's why Peter can later in this same chapter can write in verse 4, he was chosen before the creation of the earth, but was revealed in those last times for your sake. And so Peter begins this letter to a suffering, scattered church by reaffirming the basics of salvation. He has used some very marvelous expressive words such as new birth, living hope, great mercy, incurable and undefiled inheritance, and salvation. Salvation is used for all of those who trust Jesus Christ and has wonderful knowledge of him to give us the result that is genuine hope. But who is this Peter? What gives Peter the authority, the right to be talking about this salvation? You got to remember that Peter was the first one who confessed that Jesus is the Messiah, and who how shortly after God had rebuked him with these words, "Get behind me, Satan, because you are a stumbling block." It was Peter that Jesus addressed when he said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." It was Peter who denied Jesus and was later wonderfully restored we read about Jesus in John 21. It was this Peter, after being filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, stood in the streets of Jerusalem and courageously proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as he was empowered by the Holy Spirit, some 3,000 people responded to the message and believed in salvation. And so when this apostle Peter says, in this great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. And he said, "You believe in him are filled with the inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end results of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Yes. He knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about. The Bible teaches us about this new birth in the beginning, and we have a life in Jesus Christ. One pastor put it this way: the new birth is the beginning. We know that Nicodemus was interested about the new birth, and then Jesus told him, "You can't get through the kingdom unless you are born again." All of you I see in here, I know you, and you have already accepted Jesus. You have started a new life. You started a new life long ago. But I'm wondering if we realize that can still be new. There's another new birth we can get. Probably going to sound Pentecostal now. But I'm all right, because Pentecost Kabbalah was Leninism. There is a period, we talk about Jesus, we'll say it in our community, we're baptized by water and the Spirit. But there's the time in our lives when we get to a point, because some of us have been on this journey, we didn't have a Demas kind of road kind of experience. But there's somewhere, but some of us has accepted Christ. and are falling away from grace. But this prevenient grace that we always talk about, God continually pursuing us, and we come back in this place of righteousness with God, and somewhere in there, we get another infusion of the Holy Spirit in us, get to a new birth, an entire sanctification moment, knowing that there's no turning back for us. Sometimes we need that extra thing, that extra moment, that extra encounter with the Holy Spirit. You walk through the book of Acts. You hear them that some will come that, yes, they meet up and the pastors meet the people and say, oh, they have not been baptized yet by the Spirit. Yes, they were baptized in water. But we're talking about this sometimes, maybe this is what we need. Maybe this is what we're needing right now, a second infusion of the Holy Spirit, a second dose of holy in us to take us out of a complacency. This Lent we're on is just supposed to be examining where we are with Jesus Christ. And Peter is saying that because there is a place, he's holding a place in heaven for us, waiting for us. But I'm wondering, sometimes we're focusing so much on the end, we forget we need some doing some work in the beginning, and this side, in the temporary side. This is just a temporary place. Peter went on and used a metaphor, but talking about our faith, this genuine faith. It is like pure, like gold. We know that when you get to gold, for it to be purified, you got to put some fire under it. And when you put the fire under the gold, all the impurities come on top, and you skim and throw that off. When you put the fire in our lives, that's the work of the Holy Spirit to take the impurities out, which we call sin, out of our life. So all that is left is pure and precious. Whew. Pure and precious in the sight of God. I like the fact that he used the gold and used that metaphor. For our genuine faith looks like. He also telling us at the end, the result of our genuine faith, after we've been pured and been made precious in the sight of God, is the salvation of our souls. But here's the thing. You've heard me say that the kingdom of God is here, and yet we wait for it. Salvation has that same now and then language behind it too. We receive it now, and we get to experience it in the future, in this place that Peter's talking about. Waiting this heaven, this inheritance. But while we're here, when this salvation comes, Peter is telling us we have at least two French benefits, you might say, living hope and inheritance of eternity. When you hear the word living hope, your word living, it's you're talking about something that's dynamic, something that's vital, something that's alive. And I just remember the living water, something that is constantly moving. And that's the hope we have in the Jesus Christ. It is constantly moving in us. And because of what he did on the cross, his life and resurrection, to give us living hope so we can experience the end result of salvation in of our souls. Can I get an amen? All right. I know this is big stuff, but you want to listen, but I need your help with this. But here's this other thing about this hope too. That hope is only for us. That's one of those words, the secular word. Microsoft can't steal it. They already stole the cloud. But hope is only for Christians, because there's no hope without the resurrection, and there's no other place in this world that you're going to talk about hope. Unless you're talking about Jesus. It is uniquely Christian. It is God's gift for you through his son, Jesus Christ. And nobody can take that from you. Hallelujah. Nobody can take it from you. Later in the chapter, Peter contends that because Christ was raised from the dead and he gave us his glory and our hope and faith in verse 21, we should live a life of hope and be ready to give an answer to the person who asked us the reason for hope. That the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our life, as we were born again in the spirit, that's what this hope is. We get a resurrection in Jesus Christ. That's the simple message. What is hope? We get to experience it because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now we have the gift of his spirit. We're born again. Such hope may find expression in many ways, including this hymn that I came across about hope. My hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sin on Calvary. For me, he died. For me, he lived. And everlasting life and light he freely gives. The other French benefit is heavenly inheritance. The new birth is not only offers us eternal hope, but guarantees us a heavenly inheritance with outstanding characteristics. An inheritance that never perish, never spoils, and never fades. The Apostle Peter says, the inheritance is kept in heaven for you, and through faith we're shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready us for the last day. And in this, as I said before, you can greatly rejoice. This is the joy we're talking about. This is the joy of Easter morning that we will celebrate. So for a little while, you may have to suffer some grief of many kinds. We all know that. In this life, we're still between our dashes. There are moments of grief. There are moments of hurts. There were moments of being rejected. The pain, physical and emotional. But he said, because of these pains, these moments of grief, we can stand in the faith and hope that Jesus Christ is in there with us. This is what leads us and constantly pruning us into genuine faith. But this new birth that we're talking about, this new life in Jesus Christ, it has two outcomes. I told you, the now and the then. This new birth leads to great joy. Experience it now and yet to come. This path of this new birth is the outcome of our faith and the salvation of our soul. And it is the promise of this then that brings hope and joy into the now. And importantly and promisely, that now we can mark it off, that we're marred by suffering and the testing of that, testing of our faith. But we can stand on the promise of Jesus Christ. We can stand firm against all principalities. We can stand firm in the might of the living God that serves us, that lives within us. Because this faith, as Peter says, is a shield by the power of God until the coming of salvation. And this is by the mercy, his mercy, we get through it all. We get through it all. We're constantly being pruned. We're constantly being purified and made whole. And this language, this metaphor that's been using for this, be refined by the Holy Spirit, is nothing new in the Bible. We have heard it throughout scriptures. We've heard it in scriptures like Zechariah 13:9, which says, And I will put this third into the fire, refine them as one refines silver, and test them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will, and I will say, and they will say, I will say, they are my people, and I will, and they will say, this is my God. We hear from Micah 3, who says, but who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soup, he will sit as a refiner and purer of gold, silver, and he will purify the descendants of the Levites and refine them like the gold of silver unto the present offering of the Lord in his righteousness. Friends, we live in the tension of the now and then, and wait, constantly waiting for the genuine faith. And I can't say it enough, for the salvation of our soul. We experience Jesus now. Our salvation waits for his second coming, as we have been prepared, in the season of Lent. So when Peter, usually the scripture is one, if you're doing the lecture, in a post-resurrection story, but I am so glad it came up in this season as the last reading for our The Heart Matters, because it prepares us for what we're going to experience next week. It really prepares us for the triumphant entry that we will talk about on Palm Sunday. And it really prepares us for that Thursday night where we knew that he already knew what was happening, and already told his disciples who were not ready to hear it yet. But we are ready to hear that he is going to indeed have his last supper with them. Because the next time he eats with them, as Paul tells us in the Corinthians, is at his heavenly banquet, when they're together again in this heaven that they're waiting for. I'm going to take you into communion now. And I want you to go back to that night. That night when he sat at the table with his disciples, all 12 of them, though one will leave early. He sat there with the broken. He sat there with the one who denied him. They sat there with the one who doubted him. Sat there knowing that they all will desert him. But he knew also that they will come back. They come back to the table. And this is what this table of grace does for us. Help us to remember not only who we are in Jesus Christ, but what Jesus Christ did for us. Did for us for the salvation of our soul. So we can experience the joy now and look forward to the hope of everlasting joy, when all things are redeemed in God's heavenly kingdom. So if you would turn to page, I think it's 12. I don't know if it's on your the screen, but I think most of you know this by now, for the Great Thanksgiving. And I say to you, the Lord be with you. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord. You can just scroll to the Great Thanksgiving. Sorry. I didn't know she had them in there. Go to, yeah, there we go. Let's start over. The Lord be with you. Let us lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You form us in your image and breathe into us life, breath of life. And when we turn away and our love fails, your love remains steadfast. You deliver us from captivity and make us covenant with us, covenant to our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets and say with the people on earth and all the company in heaven, we praise your name and rejoice in the unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointing him to preach the good news to the poor and proclaim release to the captives and recovering the sight of the blind, to set liberty to those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you should save your people. You healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. Deliver us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by the water and spirit. When the Lord Jesus Christ ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread. Gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of my covenant, poured out for all of you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. We're going to invite you to come up with the stewards. You can come up as the Lord leads you and receive the your elements, and we will take them together. Come to the table. Mm-hmm. want you to spend some time with the Lord. I'm not rushing through this. This is a special time, a sacred time with you and your Lord. So take your time. Just remember all that was done for you. This time of forgiveness, the body of Christ given for you, this cup of salvation poured out for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prepare me to be a sanctuary, holy and true. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ broken for you. Christ give it for you. The blood of Jesus Christ is new covenant, the cup of salvation given to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Worthy. By his grace he made us worthy. That's why all are welcome to his table. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your grace this day. We thank you for meeting us at the altars that we prepared for you today. We thank you for your love that was poured out for us. And now we get to partake in your kingdom glory. Lord, we know you, when we took this bread and wine, it's not just the bread and wine, but your very presence. By the mystery of faith, we took you in, into our soul. God, thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Because he does live.